Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I have a question. If you had to spend a day with one famous magician, who would it be and why?
Why would you ever ask this question?
If I had to spend a day with one famous magician, I would totally spend it with
Chris Angel.
That's the last one on my list. Remember his insane theme song that just yells out Mind Freak? He kind of has like a Hot Topic brand of magic. I'm gonna go David Blaine. I'm gonna see some street magic. I'm kind of into the intensity.
He's cute.
He is. And I'm into the intensity. I saw this special of his where he caught a bullet with his teeth.
Yeah, it was insane.
I'm sort of into that.
Yeah.
That seems like he's got a powerful vibe and a powerful mouth.
Yeah. He's a little monotone for my taste.
He is. It's like very Kourtney Kardashian.
Yeah.
I am going to show you guys something that Kim taught me. I think we were like 7 and 8.
My next pursuit was I wanted to see how long I could survive with nothing, not even air. I didn't realize that it would become the most amazing journey of my life.
How to eat a Kit Kat, and it's pretty life-changing.
If David Blaine told me he loved me, I'd be like, are you sure? Like, that's the same tone you have when you're like, we're out of toilet paper, so we're breaking up.
That's so quick.
Yeah.
So who would you spend a day with?
Those are the only magicians I know.
That's why it was such a good question.
Incredible. And I could ask for nothing more amazing.
Hey, boo-boos and babies and zaddies and grandzaddies. Ooh, this is the episode you've been waiting for. It is the premiere of season 4. We are back giving you great new shows with hot comedians and even hot nonsense from Jess and I.
Y'all aren't even going to believe the shit that this girl put me through. This girl, Phoebe Lynn Robinson, these last few months since we've been gone. Hashtag Kelly Clarkson.
That was a really good reference. But also, whatever. You know you had so much fun at the U2 concert.
Can we, like, not talk about that right now? It's deeply triggering.
Anyway, aside from going to the U2 concert, we had all kinds of other exciting stuff happen these last few months, and we cannot wait to share it with you.
And oh my cush, you guys. We're kicking off this season with something truly amazing. I'm a changed woman. Transformed. New. Unique. Brilliant, metamorphosized. And it's all because Phoebe and I got to meet the queens of our dreams, Regina Blurpin Hall, Queen Frickin' Latifah, and Jada fucking Pinkett Smith.
I'm happy that we survived the moment. We conducted the interview. They were so fun talking about Girls Trip. We even talked about porn.
Yeah, that was fun. Plus, we've got Monroe Martin and Julio Torres. And in this episode, I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna be very, very real. Y'all will get to hear me freak out like a total spaz because I love Queen Latifah. So please don't judge me. I'm standing in my truth. Hashtag the real me. Thank you guys. Enjoy the show.
We're back. This is our first show in what?
Years.
Two months?
It's been so long.
3 months?
Yeah, especially in Brooklyn. We're back.
I know, but you know. Let's start over. That was trash.
I'm sorry. This is our first time back. I didn't know what to say. I got nervous, so I said something
Don't
weird.
Don't get scared.
All right,
this
cool.
is a safe space. We're back in New York.
Here we are. We're back in Staten Island. It's so nice.
Said nobody. I would sooner quit the podcast.
I know. I would literally
than do a show in fucking Staten Island.
I know. That would be like the shittiest email to send to you. Hey, we're having a show in Staten. I wouldn't do that.
Well, welcome to Two Dumb Queens.
Brought to you by WNYC Studios. Definitely Manhattan, New York City!
Most definitely not Staten Island.
Also not New Jersey, which your ass just took me to.
Get over it.
I got some shit to tell y'all.
Let's hear it.
No, here's the tea. I'm going to brew it up hot and fresh. Tivana. Hashtag David's tea.
Listen,
I have tea
here.
For them.
Listen here.
This was bullshit.
Listen. Ever since you got your big hair, you got your big attitude.
Okay, listen, puta. If we tell these people...
Just because you live
story,
with Despacito does not mean you call me puta.
I've been calling her puta all week. I've been workshopping it. She's been dragging me for Despacito.
Okay, where do we fucking start
with the crime?
Let's start it. Let me hear it.
All right, so let me tell y'all something as to why I ended up in New Jersey.
For listeners at home, I loudly sipped a LaCroix when she started talking. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You must have this shit. Ooh, it's going to be a long night. Why don't you start? Why don't you start, and then I'm gonna go.
Okay, so for most of you know I'm obsessed with U2. They're my favorite band, so.
I heard the cackle of someone
who... I don't think...
Understands why I was at the MetLife Stadium.
I don't understand. That loud-ass cackle was rude.
She's correct. She was my patroness. She did what I needed her to do.
It's like if she connected to Sonos, that was really loud. Okay, so this has been the summer of U2 for me. I have seen them 6 times.
Yeah, what? That was my other patroness telling you.
Okay, and so 2 of them were for free, so calm down.
And but the other ones were not. I mean, I the one I went to especially was not free. So I wake up at 11 that day. I think I just gotten back from a trip. I wake up at 11 a.m. and I already have maybe 4 texts from her. This is the day of the concert. And she's like, hey, car pickup is at 3:45. I said, excuse me? When does U2 go on? She's like, 8, but we need to see the Lumineers. They start at 7:15. And actually, U2 started at 8:30. So that being said, I had my car pickup at 3:45. And so I'm trying to negotiate my way out of this naturally. I'm trying to feel in our texts, like, if there's room for me to wiggle and not go. And she's like, listen, bitch.
I didn't call you a bitch. I said...
She said, listen, our friendship is on the line. And then she told me, look, if you don't want to go, don't tell me now and don't come. And I was like, okay, puta. I want to go, but at a reasonable time, do not put our friendship on the line. No response. So I realized our friendship was on the line. So I got an afternoon pickup for a fucking show that started really at 8:45.
Okay.
And I'd already seen them perform before.
In my defense, we're going to Jersey. Like, you can only go through the Lincoln Tonton. And, like, that gets crazy crowded. So I wanted to get a jump on after-work traffic because everyone was going to go see U2 that night.
Literally, as we drove through Manhattan, I saw everybody, like, going about their evening to go home and watch, like, Dear White People. And I was, like, waving at everybody with, like, tears rolling down my face. Everyone was like, bye, bitch. So okay. We get there, and it is the crowd. There's Phoebe, and then there's me, and then there's everybody else who's at this U2 concert. It's the most, like... really, really good about my taxes. Like, I do it many months in advance.
Yeah, it was very much like...
Maybe voted for Trump.
No. It was very divorced dad cella. That's what I felt like it was.
Oh, there was a lot of, like... Yeah, there was that.
Yeah, there was a lot of divorced dads.
It was fun. I did have fun, though.
It was a great concert, though, and it was worth standing. We were very close to the stage.
Yeah, it was cool until the Shadow Man came out, and then...
Okay, so you know how Beyonce has Sasha Fierce?
Don't compare him to Beyonce.
Okay. Okay, so Beyonce has Sasha Fierce, which is something that kind of worked, but like kind of didn't
work. Yeah, she let it go. She let it go.
So Bono,
after that press tour, she was like, no more.
Right. So Bono has a character called Shadow Man. And so he wears all black normally throughout the show. So he basically just changed it to like a black blazer.
And then
like,
a Goran Brothers hat.
Right. So he comes out and he does his song Exit, and he's like full in character, and it's really great. And then there's this one part of
the character is like, it's more or less him, but it's a lot more like,
yeah, it's an actor's choice. Not an actor. He actually, fun
an actor's
fact,
choice
fun
is like fact, Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln.
Okay.
Like,
but
I'm not.
Fun fact, Bono wanted to be an actor when he was younger.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so he comes out in this character, and there's this one part where like the song gets like super turned up, right?
And by turned up, the edge just goes like it's not exactly what you're thinking, but the edge is amazing. So do continue.
The edge is hot.
He's amazing.
So it gets like really loud and like gets really quiet, and then Bono's like, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the tail." So he does that, and it's like it's crazy, but it's also amazing.
Hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, and everybody like I look over at Phoebe, and she's like, "Oh my god!" But he does it every show. He does the Shadow Man every show. You can read about it. Just Google it.
Yeah.
Bono Shadow Man. It's a whole thing.
Well, he said it was also because he like reads like Flannery O'Connor. Like it was inspired by literature. Like there's a lot.
Everything's
to it.
Inspired by literature. This place was brought to you by literature. So
really?
Literature.
What book was Bowery Ballroom inspired by?
Please Kill Me, The Complete Uncensored History of Punk.
Okay, that was really good. I like that. Okay.
And, you know, Harry Potter, just because, you know, that's like the greatest series of all time. And everything is. I see it everywhere. I see Harry Potter everywhere.
You just had to work it in to the combo.
I did. I really am always trying. You got YouTube, I fucking guess, and I got Harry Potter. Literally apples.
Well,
apples and oranges or whatever.
To be fair, you have more than Harry Potter because something pretty mage happened.
Yeah, so I have something to tell you guys.
You guys buckle the fuck in.
I'm not even overselling this story. Like, I'm reveling, right? I'm like horny for my own story right now. This is gonna be amazing. Okay.
Can you guys all react like this is the worst story you ever heard just to fuck
yeah,
with her?
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. None of that would bother me as a comedian who wants your approval.
All right,
So anyway, you guys know I love Harry Potter. You know I'm obsessed. My birthday is July 31st. It's Harry Potter's birthday, which so happens to be J.K. Rowling's birthday. And I've been reading these books since I was in the fourth grade. From those books, I feel like I learned a lot about the world and life and good and right and wrong and how people have layers and just so much complicated shit. You can always get something from those books.
Oh, it's my God.
Bible.
Get
anyway,
to
stop.
The point.
And you're like playing me off already. And you know how awesome the story is. So anyway, a few years ago, when I was on The Daily Show, J.K. Rowling started following me on Twitter. And I freaked out and I was like, cool, I'm done fucking tweeting, which is why I don't tweet anymore, because it's like, what do you say when you get to the altar?
And I was telling her, I was like, you should slide into those DMs and like start this relationship.
Phoebe's bold.
Why not?
You're right. I mean, you're right. There's no reason, but I would imagine, like, imagine me on my iPhone and like vomiting onto my own phone. Anyway.
No, it's fine. I slide into DMs of celebs all the time.
I know you do. I know you do. And hot celebrity peen. Anyway. Yeah.
Hasn't worked out yet, but I still shoot that shot.
You got it. I will always encourage you to swing away.
Yeah.
Swing away. And anyway, so she messages me, and she was like, I know, this is crazy. And she was like, it's a funny thing. I was looking up people that have my birthday, LOL. And I saw that yours was mentioned, and I was going to wish you happy our birthday, but I bloody forgot. Anyway,
someone
I think,
just gasped at a British person saying the word bloody.
I know, it's...
That's literally their go-to word.
No, I came as well. I came when I read that as well. And anyway, she was like, which is typical me. Anyway, I think you are funny. intelligent, brave, and strong, and I always know it's going to be an excellent Daily Show when you're on. And so I came, and then I cried, and I shat myself. I did everything. Everything, right?
You gotta do it. You gotta do it. You gotta do it.
Anyway, cut to, you guys know she's very lit on Twitter. This last like year, she's been losing her mind. We've all been losing our mind. And she recently had a manuscript stolen. And so I was really drunk at a bar, and Phoebe had been telling me I should reach out to her. And my boyfriend had been like, you should just message her right now. So I was like, okay. So I slid in her DMs and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry about this situation. And she was lit up, and she like talked about like politics and everything, and was like, anyway, I'm rambling like Dumbledore. And I was like, ah! And it's like so fucked. And she was like, anyway, are you gonna be in the UK anytime soon? And she's like, I promise I'm not this talkative over the fourth cocktail. And I was like, and so it just so happened that I was going to London a week from then to go do a screening of my movie, The Incredible Jessica James. So I get back to her, and she's like, great. so she made us drinks reservations at 6:30 and then dinner reservations at 7:30. So I was like, so anyway, it's the last night of my trip in London. And I go to this really beautiful hotel, and I'm waiting, and I'm like scared, I'm like shaking, and I go up to the hostess. It's like just this old hotel, it's been there for ages. And I'm like, sorry, I'm here to see somebody. And the girl was like, who? And I was like, and she was like my age. And she was like, what's the name under? I can help you. And I was like, Rowling? And she said, what's the first name?
I know.
But sometimes hostesses be trying, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was like, JK? And she was like, let me see. And so she looked and then found her, so I'm seated. And then she comes down and she's just like a vision. Like she's a fucking babe. And so she comes down and we're like talking, and I'm like so scared. I'm like trembling. You know, I've known about her since the fourth grade. Like really, like it's insane. I feel like if you're like 27, you kind of got it just right at that cusp when Harry Potter was like coming out and everything. And so I'm nervous at first, and I'm just like talking to her, and once we get past like maybe like, it's so nice to meet you, thank you for having me, then it just like everything falls into place. And so she said so many wonderful things about me. Then I had two cocktails and I was crying, and then I said wonderful things about her. And it got to the point where it was so weird. We had so much in common that I didn't know if we had things in common as two women, or if part of my personality was shaped by the things that she wrote. It was honestly so fucking weird.
You are such a fucking dork.
I was wasted. And so anyway, the woman, like our server's coming, and we're like so into each other. We're like, go, like go away. Like we're like really loving it. And then at one point she's like, how did you meet your boyfriend? I was like, well, it started when I was in New York, and I was in my apartment, and I was playing The Sims. And she was like, you play The Sims too?
You guys.
And I was like, so then I
it's
stood up
a
and
popular
I was like, oh
game.
My
it's
God.
Not.
You are
it's not. It's not.
The
no. No. If she no. was like, I use Palmer's cocoa butter too,
no.
then I'd be like,
no.
Then I'd
no.
be like, holy shit, bitch.
No. Everybody drags me for playing The Sims. Don't you dare fucking star with me. That's not the same as like a British white lady using cocoa butter. How dare you? Anyway, we shut down the bar, and then we shut down dinner, like there's nobody there. And then we had another drink in her room, and we watched Lemonade, and then...
That's cool. That's really cool. That's really cool.
She, like, put on her glasses. I was like, cool. And then I was like, well, have you seen Cranes in the Sky? Like, do you know about The Seat at the Table? And she was like, I don't know what that is. And I was like, let me tell you something. So then we, like, I showed her, like, Solange videos.
That's, like, really cool.
I went home, and I flew back the next day, and it was, like, insane. Like, it was really, like, an incredible experience. And I texted her a few days later. I was like, hey, have you heard of Roller Coaster Tycoon?
That is literally such a waste of her time. A waste of your LTE service. A waste of the fucking invention of the phone. For you to text your hero about Roller Coaster Tycoon. You had 72 hours to
Puta.
Think of a text.
Puta.
And
Puta.
That was a text?
Puta.
That was the text?
Puta, listen. Have you ever played Roller Coaster Tycoon?
No, because I'm busy.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm busy.
Everybody's busy, but let me tell you something. She played Roller Coaster Tycoon. Look, y'all.
Did you get a picture
with
her?
This is my journey. No, I completely forgot.
You didn't get a picture with her?
I completely forgot. I know. I was really bummed. I think I FaceTimed you or I called you afterwards and you were like, where's the picture?
Yeah,
and I was like,
I completely forgot.
I was so sad.
But
my mom was really nice. My mom was like, no, it was for you. And I was like, oh, thank you.
She's your mom.
That's
she
like
has
a mom
to say
thing.
That.
Yeah,
she
I know.
Has to say that.
Anyway, I am so fucking excited for the surprises we got on the show for
y'all
tonight. You guys are going to die.
Like, literally don't even fucking know.
Like, you don't know? I'm so excited about this show tonight that I have been FaceTiming her all day to get her to talk to me about this show tonight. So,
yeah, we
don't do that often.
It's going to be fire. Are you guys ready for more show? Our next comic that we're going to bring up is very, very funny. He performs all over the country. You may have seen him on The Tonight Show. Please give it up for Monroe Marcus!
Thank y'all for coming out. I'm happy. I'm in a relationship. I like my relationship. I like it. I'm a relationship guy. Like, I like certain shit that you can only get in a relationship. Like, I like being the little spoon. Like, I fucks with the little spoon. You can't be the little spoon where you're just sleeping around. Like, you get a one-night stand, and then after, she's like, you want me to go? No, I want you to hold me. Is that possible? I found a girl that would do that shit. She did it. No questions asked. I just hinted. Like, I just, like, rubbed my butt, like, on her stomach, like, what's up? She was like, oh, okay. I like that shit. I'm a big dude. Hold the fuck out of me. My lady's little. My lady is really tiny. My lady is 5'1". I'm 6'5". Yeah, it's awkward for y'all. Y'all are picturing it. You're like, really? How does she get up? Here, it's like when she spoons me, I feel like I got Yoda on my back. Like, that's how I feel. Just start petting her head. Also, why don't God, because I can tell you like being spooned. I can see it. Because when I said it, your eyes lit up, me too. Me too, I likes it too. That's something that we should spread the word. We should tell our friends that shit. We should. I can't wait to like tell my friends. Because they're always bragging about like, oh, I got with this chick the other night. It was fucking crazy. It was bananas. I can't wait to be like, yo, me and my girl spooned all night, nigga. I mean, like, all night. That shit was relaxing. Like, I felt energized for the next day. Felt like I can conquer the world. I love it. I love her. I want to get married, but I want to wait. I got to wait a while. I had to wait for her dad to stop being so cool. Her dad's cool as shit. And we watch a lot of Say Yes to the Dress. Like, she put me on to that show. That show was fucking awesome. That show's fucking awesome. I love it. I just wish they would be more honest with the people trying on a dress. Like, they need black gay dudes on that show. They do. They got, like, one dude, but he ain't, like, fucking hard enough. Or he's just like, I ain't even gonna look at you. I can tell by your silhouette that shit don't fit. Fuck yes. No, bitch. No. I love that show. We were watching the dad episode, and this got me in my head. We were watching the dad episode, and in that episode, one of the ladies, she was like, my dad is the most important person in my life, and I found a man who loves me the same way he does. Oh, that's a lot of fucking love. You understand? Your dad loves you because he has to. You're his project. He created you. I could never love my woman as much as her dad does. He gave her so much. Like, she's first generation American. She's Colombian. And he and his wife came over here to give them a better life, to give them a chance at, like, surviving and, like, living well. And I'm like, I can't give you that. I can give you Netflix and a couple of Jordans from time to time. I can't compete with your fucking dad. I'm waiting until they get in like a blowout argument. Then I'm like, would you marry me now? Buy some fucking time. She wants to have kids though. She does. Anybody have children? Children, children, you have kids. Y'all, somebody, only one person was me. Everybody's like, who the fuck? Shouldn't you be home right now? She wants him. I'm nervous. It's because I am not from like a, like I had it kind of fucked up when I was younger. Like my mom, like I come, like I'm afraid that I'm going to pass some shit down. That's what it is. Right? Like I feel like behaviors are hereditary. Most people think like diseases are, certain behaviors are hereditary. Like addiction is very like fucking prominent in my family. Everybody was addicted to something. My mom was addicted to drugs. My dad was addicted to not being around. I don't know what I'll pass down. Like, I don't know. That's a real addiction. I haven't found anything I'm addicted to yet. I don't do drugs. That shit ain't that cool. I want to be addicted to sex, right? Because that's a cool-ass disease. No one's ever felt sorry for that guy. You just want to hear the stories. Tell me how you let your addiction get the best of you. I measure all my addictions by homeless people, and I read their signs. I read their signs, and they'll tell you what the fuck ruined their life. Most times, it was like, I'm an alcoholic. I'm trying to get my life together. I lost my family. I'm addicted to gambling. But I've never seen a homeless dude with a sign and be like, I can't stop fucking these bitches. And I lost my family. I don't know if I'm going to be a rough parent. Right? I don't know. I'm not an angry guy now, but I think it changes when you have children. Like, my mom, she was pretty aggressive. Like, my mom would do things like, first of all, I see my mom and dad fight, and they did it a lot, but, like, the one time I see my mom get the best of my dad, it was, like, dope as shit. Like, my mom is 5'9", my dad is 6'5", and I watched my mom jump up and put him in the headlock and, like, fucking bring him down. But not only did she bring him out, she leaned back and I was like, she know what the fuck she doing. She went, rah, he's like, ah! He was on his tippy toes. I was like, holy shit. This is the strong black woman. My mom was rough, man. She was rough as shit. She was rough, but also like my mom, she liked being fly all the time. Like, we were fly to, like, cover up how bad we were doing. Like, at one point, we were, like, sleeping on, like, a freaking king-size mattress. Me, my mom, my sister, right? But every day, it had, like, new jewelry, new Jordans, all that shit. But the catch was, I couldn't play in that shit. If you was black, you had two pair of clothes. You had your, yeah, you had your play clothes. And then you had your clothes to let everybody know you're doing well. Right? And one time I made a mistake and I played in my fucking, hey, don't fuck this up clothes. And that's when I knew my mom cared about the clothes more than she cared about her kids, because I like scraped my fucking knee on my bike. And most parents would run out and they'd be like, are you okay? Let me kiss your boo-boo. And they kissed the little fucking cut and they get blood all in their mouth. Which I'm not doing for my kid. I'm like, ew, wipe that shit up. Like, I'm not, I'm not cleaning up poop when it's running down your legs and a lot of stuff I'm not doing. But I watched my mom like do this. Like she came out and she got angry and she was like, what the fuck did I tell you? What the fuck did I tell you about playing in your jeans? What did I say? If you want to play, you take your jeans off, you play naked. Skin heals, denim doesn't. Like, you know what's funny? Like, I had dreams of a kid, but I dreamed of, like, dumb shit that I know I should have went to therapy for. Like, I always dreamed that I could, that I would be possessed. Like, I love horror movies, and I was like, ooh, I'm gonna be possessed. But I noticed only white kids get possessed. Only white, what's wrong, devil? You don't like black bodies? So, like, the devil, like, I'm not trying to get shot. I'm trying to take over the world. I always wanted to be possessed. Right? White kids do get possessed very easily. They do. They get that shit like chicken pox get passed around. They do cool shit when you possess. You fucking projectile vomit. Turn your head around and shit. That shit is awesome. See, they're like, what? I'll never be able to do that. My mom smacked the devil out of me. The moment I get possessed and I'm fucking turning my head around, she'll smack me back around. What the fuck did I tell you about turning your head around in your sweaters? What did I say? I said, if you want to get possessed, you get possessed naked. I want a kid, but I want to wait. I want to wait just a little bit longer. I want to wait till technology improves, where the ultrasound will tell you the sex and the future of that baby. Like, I know. It's almost here. Like, I fucking know it. I know they can do some shit like that. Because they got that fucking little, what, Apple got that pen. You write some shit, it kind of remember it. You know what remembers what you wrote? Paper. Like, that's, you don't need batteries, you don't need a USB. Just, I fucked up and throw it away. We can take that money, we can put it into that. And I'm not asking for, like, a fucking long, drawn-out, detailed thing. Just like some cliff notes, like, you're going to have a boy. He ain't going to be what you want him to be. Do you want a couple more stamps on your passport, or you want to fucking be a dad? And it's like, get them stamps. Look, I know. I feel it in the room. Y'all fucking trying to turn on me. Who cares? Look. Because I feel it. I fucking feel it going, oh. I know that with that idea, I wouldn't have made it through. I know I wouldn't have made it through. If they had told the doctor, Ms. Martin, your son is going to be 6'5", 250 pounds, athletic build, and the comedian. What do you want to do? Kill it. Kill it now. Are you fucking serious? I don't want no big ass clown. I want courtside seats. Y'all have been dope. Thank y'all. I appreciate it.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/DopeQueens today to get 10% off your first month.
This week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, Jerry Seinfeld on making a life in comedy.
This is a writer's game. If you can write, you succeed. If you can't, you will not make it. Any comedian can be funny on stage, but the bullets are the writing.
Jerry Seinfeld on his film Unfrosted and more. That's the New Yorker Radio Hour from WNYC Studios. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
That's great. We're all doing good. We're all looking good. We're all eating okay. We're all drinking the appropriate amount of alcohol.
And LaCroix.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you can't always be happy.
What? What's happening?
I feel like this summer has been a summer positivity. It's been really great.
It's been good.
It's been awesome. But we've had some ding-a-lings on Twitter.
Some real ding-dongs.
Coming at us. And I don't know if you guys saw this. You probably didn't because you have lives. But there's a picture of me. I have lost some weight recently.
You look amazing.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. But there's a picture of me with Jess, and I was wearing a crop top and a little skirt. And then Jess was wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt. And...
Thank you.
If only that was the reaction that picture got on Twitter. Literally 75 white guys got so mad that Jessica was wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt. And then a bunch of dudes said I was pregnant just because I'm not super skinny. And it was really fucked up.
It was very upsetting. We were like tweeting at them and then texting each other and then tweet. It was just weird because, well, I know what made me upset. It's like Led Zeppelin is like one of the biggest rock bands of all time. And these guys were getting really defensive about it. Like, I bet she doesn't even know what that is. Blah, blah,
right.
Blah. So I was trying to double team them and be like, my argument was like, shut the fuck up. They're like the biggest band of all time. And then your argument was,
oh, I got like real lit. I was like, actually, black people like invented blues and rock and roll, so it's fucking fine. Like, I put on my doctorate degree and I was like, listen, motherfucker.
She wrote a paper.
But it is. It,
in 140 were, characters.
But they were just like, Jessica's cultural appropriating. How can she? Like, and it was like.
It was like some Pepe shit.
Yeah.
You guys know. You guys engage. You know what it is.
Yeah. It was terrible. There.
It was Pepe.
It was really lame. And then that one white lady, when you called her out for.
I specifically was like, oh, are you saying I don't know about this band because I'm black? And then she cowered. And she was like, no, I just meant. Because, like, you're young, and my niece wouldn't even know what that is. I can't wait to watch you guys' show. And we were like, we have a fucking podcast. Why don't you read tweets?
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. She backpedaled so quickly. It was
she
great.
Did. She was like, meow.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I went to Cape Cod this weekend for the first time.
Ooh, that's fancy.
Yeah, it was insane. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say I had an amazing time. Yeah. My boyfriend and I went to go visit a couple friends. And I had an amazing time. But Cape Cod was bonkers because that is a place where whiteness has been uninterrupted since the Pilgrims.
Yeah. Okay.
I've never seen anything like it. It was like...
Really?
Yeah, it was like older white people heaven in that.
Wow.
The median age is 74.
Okay.
So that being said, there were like a few really delicious like choice restaurants.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have boats. So we went out on a boat and we were watching like a sailing race, which was lit.
Oh, wow. That's
cool.
And
then while we were there... We ran into other white people who were like members of the family of the people we were visiting. So they were like, hey, Ted. Hey, Janet. Like, it was insane. But we were like passing on boats.
Wow. Cape Cod sounds like pretty cool to me.
No, it was lit. It was amazing. I had a great time. Like, we should go back like next weekend.
Was all the wait staff people of color? Is that the situation?
No, actually, it was weird. A lot of them were like Irish.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very weird. But then, yeah, the four black people I saw there were all wait staff, and it did feel like Get Out a little bit.
Right.
But it was insane because when I was walking around, like, I got so much hair shit. Like, we were driving around in a Tesla, which ruled. That's the car of the future. And I got out, and as soon as I got out, I had been there maybe 5 seconds. But this older white lady comes up to me and she's like, is that car big enough to fit your hair?
You know, the thing is, it's on the edge.
It's not bad.
It's fine.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't fully land as offensive.
Your hair is big.
Yeah, yeah.
And cars can be small.
When I get into...
I'm a white person whisperer.
No, you're right.
That was cool.
When I get into a Camry, you're like Sarah Huckabee Sandersing, right? Like her words.
Not going to take any more questions.
So infuriating.
She sucks.
I know.
That's, yeah. When
so
I went,
it was weird. And yeah. Then right before we left, this white guy was like, I got to ask you. And I was like, what? And he's like, do you ever get tired having to wash your hair all the time? And I took half a second and I was like, no, because black people don't have to wash their hair as much as white people. Thank you. See you later. And I just laughed.
That's great.
I poofed out.
That's great. I think both our styles, because I have the blue thing going on. So when I went home to Cleveland, I got a lot of compliments from white people at like Wahlburgers, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was just a lot of...
I'm not going back to Cleveland for a while.
You should. Cleveland is so great, but it was fun because my brother and I took him to see the NBA Finals game when Cleveland was playing. Mm-hmm. They lost, but it was like really cool to see like... male athletes that up close.
It's bananas. My dad, since I was a kid, he's always had season passes to the Clippers games. So I'm from LA and he was a ride or die. But it is really crazy to go to those games and then see just how fucking big these dudes are. You're like, oh, wow.
That is hot. I also feel that way about, because I've been a huge tennis fan all my life. Mm. But like I was watching Wimbledon and it's like, when I was growing up, I feel like the men didn't grunt. It was very, like, a silent, like, waspy game. And so did they just hit and they
just hold it in.
No emotion. And, like, now every guy's like, ooh, and I'm like, ooh. It's so hot. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, get those grunts out. There's something very primal and erotic about that.
Like, have you ever seen Rafael Nadal play? He's like just super.
No.
Okay, so
tell me about it.
He was like kind of a bad boy at tennis for a second because he wore like.
Was he like a bad boy? Did he wear his like clothes backwards?
No. So he used to wear sleeveless shirts, which on some of the tours you're like not supposed to bear arms.
Oh.
And so everyone's like, he's such a rebel, but he is so good at grunting. That I feel like we've had sex.
Really?
It's like intense.
What is it like? Oh! It must be like, oh!
It's like, oh! 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 And he's like, come on!
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah.
I feel like anything I see about tennis, like in the news, the shot is always, oh! Like that's always what the shot is.
So it's
hot. I think my tennis grunt would be like, fact about me or something.
That would be your grunt?
Might be like, my favorite ice cream is vanilla.
I would like to see you get all of that out before you hit the ball.
I'm a Leo. I love Vans.
That's
be like,
cute.
Fire me. What would yours be?
I don't know.
I have a guess.
What?
I feel like yours would be just like a very extra like sexual moan.
Like what?
Oh, daddy. Like, oh, daddy.
Oh, daddy. Hey, granddaddy.
Or you're like naming dudes you think are hot. You're like, John Hamm.
Idris Elba. Catch my puss. Like, that would just be the whole, like, John McEnroe's like, well, we're going off the air.
Always ready to hate.
Fuck him.
I know. He's trash.
Oh, my God. Come on. We're so cute, you guys.
I love us. Let's never stop.
Yeah. Are you guys ready for our show? Thank you so much for coming.
Sticking with us.
Coming out and welcoming us back with open arms.
Yeah, it's been great to be back in Staten Island.
Yeah. I hate you so much.
I know.
So we did this like fun thing on Twitter. Where we just like kind of tweeted out, we're like, hey, we guys, thank you so much for supporting Two Dope Queens. So we just want to invite like three of our biggest fans, like hang out with us on stage.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Doing our podcast.
Everybody. So we can just, if we can just get them out here, the fans, please.
Yeah. We are so excited to meet them. So if they could come out, that would be awesome.
We're just going
to
interview them and talk and...
from the cast of Girls' Night. I watched it. I've seen it. It's amazing. Fuck. Oh, okay. My God.
Jessica is out of her mind. She meant Girls' Trip.
Can you
it's
talk
okay.
to me for a second?
Okay, Jessica?
Yeah, can we talk?
This we're is just like, going to okay. sidebar. Okay,
well, come here. Come here. Yeah, okay. Shit. Okay.
You got to get the fuck too? Together.
So what? Jessica fucked up the name of our film.
Yes. Yeah, right. She fucked it up. She yeah. called it Girls Night.
She called it Girls Night. The shit
Girls Trip.
Okay. Okay, wait, I'm getting dragged right now. I'm getting dragged.
You know, we're supportive in the movie, this so maybe we should just be supportive
yeah,
of her fuck up, you know?
Okay.
And just act like you know what? You can always come home.
Yeah.
You can always come
okay,
home.
Okay, here's the thing. So here's the thing. Tell me.
You can get this back.
Oh, you think so?
You can get this back.
Do you think I sat too close to Queen Latifah?
I do, I do. I think that her star energy just like messed up your equilibrium.
I'm shaking.
And so you forgot language?
Yeah.
But now you got it back.
You think so?
You got it back. You're going to fucking nail this.
Okay. You look great.
You look great too.
Thank you.
Okay. So
far away now.
I know. You know what? I got a note, and so I'm taking the note. I might come back in a little bit.
So Jess and I just recently saw Girls Trip, which you guys have to
yeah,
see opening weekend. It is fucking hilarious and phenomenal. So Regina, can you talk to us kind of like how this whole thing came about?
We're four girls, and Tiffany Haddish, who is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing.
Working, but she's here in spirit with us. We four girls who went to New Orleans, and some shit went wrong.
Yeah.
And then it went right.
Then it went right.
I like that description of the movie. That sums it up.
So how were you guys approached about the script, and like, were you kind of like, Queen, this movie's amazing, you should do it with me? Like, how did that come about? Because it's just like four incredible, amazing, dynamic, hilarious, stunning black women doing a comedy. And where you're four different complex people. Like, we don't get to see that a lot because I think Hollywood just thinks that black women are not three-dimensional. You guys really, with this film, I feel like you show all sides of us. So that's amazing. So did you guys, were you in contact with each other about the movie before it started?
Yeah, a lot. And we made the decision together, actually, to do the movie. It's been 21 years since we've actually been on the screen together.
Yes, set it off.
Yeah, set it off, baby.
Set it off.
That was my question. What has it been like since your first film together, Set It Off, and then this movie, Girls Trip? How has it been to see each other again and work together?
Well, we've worked together over the years. You know, she's produced me, I've produced her. So this was the first time we were actually on screen acting together. So, but it was, you know, we just got an easy flow.
old shoes. It was a lot of fun, you know, getting to spend that much time around Jada because we both have crazy busy lives but to be able to hang out in New Orleans for a couple months,
that was
you know,
cool.
Making a banger of a movie was amazing. I was in at Regina Hall. I mean, I think she's one of the most brilliant, amazing actresses.
Yeah, she's
quick-witted, funny. She's been making me laugh for years. And so just the idea of being able to be in a movie with her to me was very exciting.
Yep.
And when they said yes, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, really, that was, you can't express into words what it's like, but I was like, oh, my gosh, it could really be great.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I was praying. I did prayers, though. Don't think a bitch wasn't praying. I was like, these bitches got checks. They not going to say yes. They got money.
I just
they
love that you're like so raw in your personal dialogue.
With God.
Yeah, it's very raw. You're like, God, fucking listen. it's me, Regina. Well, that's great. Oh my God. This is like so cool. Can I also say to you, I'm a huge fan of all three of you, but growing up, there weren't a lot of like black female women doing like comedy in the way they're like, and you really inspired me when I was a kid. Bringing Down the House is like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah!
I watch it often and frequently. And so I'm just so excited that you're here.
Are you okay, Jess?
This is like so fucking cool.
You know, Jess played my daughter. I mean, Jessica played my daughter in a movie. That is actually true.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have a history. We have great history.
Yes. And she was hilarious in the movie.
Thank
People,
you.
Places,
you
things. I had a very tall husband.
Yeah. Yes.
Who had left us, but she was so amazing, and that's where I just wanted to say, I think you're amazing and tremendous.
Thank you.
Great to watch you.
Wow. Okay, great. The movie that we did was People, Places, Things, and she was incredible in it.
Gorgeous!
I haven't done any movies, but...
How'd you guys come together to hook up and do this?
That's a great
amazing.
Question. Yeah. I used to do a show called The Daily Show, and I was doing a bit, and she was doing a bit on The Daily
Show.
Well,
I was doing background.
I know,
lines.
But I'm like, you're like my friend. It's like,
but
literally
background
these
the
three
lines.
Khaleesis. Just, okay.
What's a sack? Yeah.
But so anyway, we did that, but I knew about her because we both came up at UCB, which is our Upright Citizens Brigade. And I knew I had a white bae and she had a white bae, and she was like funny, so I like knew who she was. And so she asked me, she was like, hey, what are you, what's like your dream? Because my birthday was coming up. I was like, I would love to try stand-up. And she's an amazing stand-up. So she was like, well, do you want to come co-host my show Blaria Live, which means Black Daria? And so we went and did that at UCB East, and there were like a couple of people there. No, I was a drag, but I didn't mean to. But
it,
I just meant
out.
To be like...
It was packed
that
out.
That was packed out? Oh, okay. I just meant... you're not PolitiFact. Like, don't fact check me right here. And anyway, I just wanted to say it was like a small room, but we've grown into this big, beautiful sort of family.
I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Okay.
You guys,
thank
you.
That's fair. That's fair.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's been 3 years. We've been working together for 3 years, mm-hmm. so that's been mm-hmm. it's been really fun.
It's great. Yeah. She's my work wife, so we have a lot of fun
love it.
Making
yeah.
content.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I should ask you, how was it for you guys to see, or you ladies, to see a movie like this with ladies going hard in comedy? You know, this is your
realm. She's so good.
For me, it just felt like when I was watching this, I was like, I want to see more of this. This mm-hmm. is fucking amazing. And like, I got mad. I was like, there should be 10 of these.
Yeah.
Because you guys all do like comedy. Mm-hmm. You also do like more dramatic things. Like, which do you prefer to do?
I love them all. It's not really about one thing or another. It's just like when you get great material, it's just awesome to be able to mix it up. You know, so if you get a great drama, to be able to do that. And if you get great comedy, be able to do that. And maybe I'll get a great porn. I don't know. Star in that, you know.
That's like so tight.
Would you like me to pray for that?
That's the only thing I haven't tried yet. I'm thinking, you know, to kind of explore different areas.
No.
I'm
gonna pray for it because they work.
Good money.
So.
What category of porn would you do? Have you thought about it?
Maybe fetish category.
Yeah. Whoa!
Fetish category.
Good one.
Good one, right?
Good one.
Yeah, maybe the fetish category. I'd have to talk to Will first, but he might agree. He might be okay with that.
There we go. Somebody's about to get the Vivid Entertainer of the Year award. And I'm going.
What about you, Regina? What category? You're not going to... I ask the questions that Charlie Rose can't.
Yeah.
That's my brand.
Gosh, I have to think of... There are a lot, you know? There are a lot of categories on those lists.
There are.
What's the angry ones?
I would say...
What are those called? Maybe I'd try that one.
I think that's a category up there at Pornhub. They were
angry
like, it's just
porn.
Angry.
That's fun. What about you, Queen?
You know, I think I'd go for the one with... What do you think, Dad? I should go big, right?
I'm going to go for the orgy.
Wait, your dad is here?
I'm so sorry.
The German one.
I'm just
a gangbang.
Just
a gangbang.
Don't be no punk. That's what you go for it. Yeah, I'm smashing 30
of them.
No.
Maybe 40.
Come back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that
was literally so disrespectful, Phoebe.
Oh, my God.
No fear.
No fear in here.
I am saying right now.
Oh, my God.
that got out of hand.
Definitely.
I love you, babe. I'll be done in a second. Lord, forgive me, Lord.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Lord, forgive me.
Oh, dear.
Did you just skate into this venue with your cool fucking self?
I want to change my category to co-star son's porn.
Thank God he's 19. He's an adult.
He's legal. That's luscious.
Best thing I've ever experienced.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. I would say, thank you for asking, Phoebe. I would want a strong narrative and an interesting plot.
That's boring.
Maybe a sci-fi, but well-developed. Or maybe something that's like, you know, beautiful blackness, like a take on Fences or something. Because it's important
I'm the opposite. I just want like grainy, like cuckold, just like that's it. Just me being like, no, I don't want that. Like, that's all I want. That's great. Cool. It's pretty cool. Wow.
Lord save me.
So we should bring this back to Girls Trip.
Yes. Okay. I agree.
Killed a lot of layers on that one.
We did.
I said, what's interesting is you brought up the former category.
Yeah. Wow. You see what happens when I try to cut loose? You see what happens. That's why I just need to keep it tight.
That's right.
So what is like the one takeaway you hope that audiences leave with after they watch the movie?
You know, this movie, well, first of all, it is called Girls Trip, but you guys have seen it. It's not really gender specific, in all honesty. Like, humor and laughter is universal. Just like us girls can go see Hangover and enjoy it. I've had a lot of men go see this movie, and they don't just like it, they love it, you know? So I definitely think that this movie isn't gender specific, even though it's about women. And it's not color specific, even though it's starring four African American women. This is a movie about sisterhood. This is for all women. Trust and believe it. All women. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's it right there. I mean, no, you said it amazingly.
Thank you.
Miss Queen, do you have anything to add? Like, what you want people to take away from this film?
I love the most important part to me is just the way that the sisters rally around each other and how important friendship is. And you get to really see that in this film.
This is why I prayed so fucking hard. This right here.
That was great.
Right here. That's it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
There are four questions Jews ask to mark Passover every year. This Passover is leading many of us to ask more questions, once tied to our identity as Jewish Americans. I'm Matt Katz, and on the next Notes from America, we'll talk about hard conversations happening in Jewish communities right now, how we can heal our divisions, and why this Passover feels different. Available wherever you get podcasts.
About our next comedian. He's very funny, very talented. He's a writer on SNL. Please give it up for Julio Torres!
Hi. I'm Julio. I'm originally from El Salvador. My favorite color is clear. I'm an Aquarius. Another fact about me is that I am almost always doing exactly what a Trump supporter imagines that I'm doing. Let me tell you, it's a lot of fun. If you've ever seen me before, you know that I've been a carefree platinum blonde for about 3 years. But today I come to you as a brunette. And that's because I had this suspicious mole on my back that had to get biopsied. And I thought, blonde Julio can't deal with that. This sounds like a job for a brunette. I can't be a gorgeous platinum blonde and be like on hold with my insurance. I wasn't gonna let him do that. I had to protect him. I just got a new apartment and I signed the lease to the apartment and I like the apartment. I do. I really do like the apartment. But there's something about signing a lease or a contract that always makes me feel like a young bride looking out the window as my mother like violently tightens my corset. There's something about agreeing to something like that that just makes me feel like the realtor was like, isn't this great? Aren't you so happy? Isn't this exactly what you wanted? And I just felt like, yes, I suppose it is. These are happy tears. Today is a joyous occasion. Because of getting a new apartment, I had to go to the hardware store to get like nails and stuff like that. And I saw something that I hadn't seen in a very long time. I saw a furry toilet seat cover. Are you familiar with... Yeah. They're sort of like if a John Waters film was a furry toilet seat cover. And I wondered what it would be like to interview the artist and creator of the furry toilet seat cover. I think I'd be like, hey, so how did you come up with the idea for a furry toilet seat cover? And they'd be like, huh, I don't know. I guess I'm just nasty? I guess I'm just disgusting. I just finally got around to updating the software on my iPhone, which I had delayed for a while because every time I so much as touched my iPhone, it was like, can we do it now? And there's something I just didn't like that it begged, I guess. But eventually I did, and I was mortified to find out that when you update your software, what used to be the shooting star emoji becomes a meteor. And I don't know if Apple knows that the difference is monumental. Because a meteor is this very like gorgeous stroke of iridescence. It's just, it goes from a very pleasing dark blue to a gorgeous baby blue. It's like, tss, ah. That was the shooting star. But when you update, the meteor is just this orange ball of fire. So for the longest time, I thought I was being flirty when really I was being a psychopath. I would get text messages being like, hey, will I see you later? And I'd be like, I don't know, maybe. It's when really I was going, maybe. Growing up, my favorite cartoon character was by far Daisy Duck. Donald's wife, sometimes girlfriend, depending on the writer, I guess. What I loved about Daisy Duck was that whenever she blinked or whenever she closed her eyes, you could see that she was wearing a deep purple eyeshadow, no matter where she was. And I just thought there was something so beautiful and so vulnerable about her accidentally revealing how much she cared. Donald was always late, and Daisy never said a thing. But whenever she blinked, I'd be like, oh no, she dressed up. This was important to her. And I'm not exactly sure how these two facts, how these two moments in the set connect in my brain, but they just sort of do. So to me, in my head, that transitions into a diary entry from Melania Trump's diary. I was burning letters from my family in Slovenia when I noticed my shadow for the first time. I enjoyed moving my fingers and watching it do the same. There's not much in this world I can control, I thought, but you, shadow, you must do as I say. And one last one before I go. Donald and the others get so mad when they watch the news sometimes. Oh, they get so angry. I just hope they don't take it out on me and turn me back into a cat. I must say, being a first lady isn't easy, but being a cat, oh, I don't miss it. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Two Dope Queens.
Give it up for
just heard Monroe Martin, Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Julio Torres.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solotaroff, Jim Point, Paula Schumann, Rachel Neal, Phoebe Robinson, and Jessica Williams. Our team includes Joe Plord, Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, Irene Trudell, Isaac Jones, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky.
This season is going to be lit, y'all. Follow us on Twitter to stay up to date on all the cute surprises we're bringing you this season.
Yeah, and please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Also, I was just looking at our ratings, and I want to say a huge thank you very much to each and every one of you who liked the show and rated us. It means seal much.
Phoebe, just quick question. What accent was that when you said thank you very much?
I don't know. I just, like, follow, like, the wind.
You're not Pocahontas, bitch. Hold up, wait. One last thing. For all of you listeners out there in La La Land, a.k.a. my hometown, we are bringing Two Dope Queens back to the West Coast. Join us for some very special guests on Thursday, October 5th. Go to twodopequeens.org and click on upcoming shows to buy tickets. All right, y'all. Till next time.
Bye, Q. Bye. Our team includes Joe Plord, Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, Irene.
Good.
It's also produced by my butthole.